What if the betrayals, false accusations, and political turmoil you're facing are not the end of the story, but the very setup God is using to position you for His purpose in 2026? Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. I want to encourage you that this is going to be a year of hope in 2026. We are in our hope series. And so if you haven't checked us out at fpiw.org or fpiwaction.org, I want to encourage you to check us out there, because in this podcast, what we're working on is changing our hearts, and that in turn changes the public square. And how do we change your heart? Well, the power of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God comes in and changes us from the inside out. And so we're going to get into more on our hope series. Our root verse that we're looking at is from Hebrews chapter 10. But before I go there, if you haven't subscribed, liked, shared, or commented, I want to encourage you to do so. And if you're in that Washington Defender app, place this in your huddle. It's important to get the Word of God out, because you can have conservative ideas, but if you don't have biblical ideas to go along with those, or at the root of who you are, those conservative ideas can always go awry. So let's check out Hebrews chapter 10. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And that's what I'm encouraging you today, regardless of your circumstances, no matter what happens in this next legislative session, God is faithful. He's faithful from the beginning to the end. So let's hold fast to our confession as Jesus Christ as Lord. No matter what happens on the national front or the international front, what happens in Venezuela or what happens in Israel or Syria or Lebanon or any of those other areas in the world, we know that God is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. This is what we need to do. We need to have love for each other and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some. We want to continue to come together, dive in God's word together, worship together, express our love for Jesus Christ together, as is some other habit, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. So, as you see the day drawing near, as Jesus comes back for his bride more and more each day, I want to encourage you as we get closer to learn how to encourage each other, one another, day by day. So we are going to look at, for hope today, Genesis chapter 15, and we're going to kind of parallel two things. We're going to look at, one side is going to be Joseph, the life of Joseph, but the other side, we're going to pick up Jacob once again. And so these two things are going to kind of be in parallel. Now, remember, Abraham, the father of our faith, begot Isaac, in other words, his son, Isaac, also had the covenant of God. And then Jacob, who eventually would be called Israel, he also got the covenant from God. So what is the covenant? That Israel will be God's chosen nation and will be blessed. Abraham, in Genesis chapter 15, God said to Abraham, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, where they will be enslaved and oppressed for about 400 years. But I will also judge the nation whom they will serve, and afterwards they will come out with many possessions. So, Abraham has Isaac, Isaac has Jacob, and Jacob has Joseph, okay? So when we look at this, we see that God predicts, prophesies to Abraham that Israel or Jacob will be in the land of Egypt, in a land that oppresses them, enslaves them for 400 years, and that God will judge it. So let's see how Israel or Jacob ends up. First off, in Genesis 37, we see that Jacob's son Joseph has a dream that all of his brothers will bow before him. And Joseph's brothers eventually, in verse 18 of chapter 37, betray him. And so you think about this. here we have Joseph having a dream. He's probably super stoked about his dream. He goes and shares it to his brothers. His brothers despise him for the dream because it placed Joseph as the head, the youngest one, who shouldn't be honored. The oldest should be honored, as them bowing their knee before him. So here Joseph has his first betrayal. But what we have to understand is this betrayal by his family is actually setting up Abraham's the word from God to Abraham. Isn't that amazing? So you may be betrayed by someone today in where you are at work or at home, and it may not feel good. I understand. Could you imagine Joseph not feeling overly excited? He didn't see or foresee what we can now see, because we have it all written down right here for us to read. So here he has a dream that his brothers will bow down. But yet his brothers don't like it. So what do? They throw him into a pit. They take his tunic and they put blood on it from a lamb or a goat. And that is going to be the story that they sell to Jacob, their father, and say, hey, your youngest son is dead. So Joseph's brothers betray him. Now, Joseph is then sold into slavery into Potiphar's house. And he's there and he's working hard. He's doing a good job. And, you know, he's probably trying to get over the very fact that his family sold him out. And we have in Genesis chapter 39, we have where Potiphar's wife becomes attracted to Joseph. And so Joseph is doing his cleaning and doing all of the stuff in the house. And Potiphar's wife falsely accuses Joseph of rape. And so tears his robe off, and Joseph goes fleeing. So imagine it from Joseph's standpoint. Where's the hope? You know, here I am trying to do a good job after my family just sold me out. And all of a sudden, I have these false allegations I have to deal with. This happens to many of us, where we have false allegations that can come our way. And so Joseph is falsely imprisoned, and that he was accused by Potiphar's wife of rape. So while in prison, he makes some friends and he begins to have some success again. And you're going to see this as Joseph's life over and over. And then why? You may be thinking, how does this apply to Washington State and to us? Understand the hand of God. God foresaw all of this when he told Abraham, you're going to go to slavery. It's all setting up for God's perfect plan. So Joseph is in prison in, Genesis 40. And, the cupbearer and the chief baker become his friends, and Joseph has success. But we see this interesting verse in 40, verse 23. Yet the cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot about him. So now we have family sold him out. His employer falsely accuses him, false incarceration, and his friends have forgotten him. Sound like anyone we know? I mean, does it sound like this is a place of hope? And yet God is teeing this up so that Joseph can be in that right position that he needs to be in. So eventually, Pharaoh has a dream. And we see that in Pharaoh's dream in Genesis 41, that he's looking for someone. And the cupbearer remembers that Joseph can interpret dreams. So so we see that Joseph is remembered at this point, and Joseph interprets the dream of Pharaoh. Now, it's interesting because we oftentimes get accused of separation of church and state. Like somehow, if we were Joseph, we wouldn't work with Pharaoh. And no, he was supposed to steward what God had entrusted to him. This was a time that wisdom. Do you notice this too, that Joseph had the wisdom of God, and that wisdom meant that he loved his neighbors. Eventually, it's going to mean that he takes care of all of those different flocks and regions with supplies because of the famine that's coming. So he interprets the dream and in Genesis 41, and Joseph's brothers are sent to Egypt because of the famine in Genesis 42. If you haven't read Genesis 45, I want to encourage you to do so, because Joseph forgives his brothers. And I would just say that in the public square, one of the key things that's missing right now is forgiveness. We need to be a forgiving people. Let go of the past, move forward. And so thinking about forgiveness and letting go of things. And Genesis 45, it's a powerful set of verses. I would encourage you to read that. But let's pick up Genesis 46. So the famine's happening. Joseph has encountered his brothers a number of times. Joseph has sent his brothers back to his father to get them. And Pharaoh and Joseph have invited Israel, or Jacob, into the land of Egypt. So Israel, or Jacob, set out with all that they had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices to God of his the God of his father Isaac. And God spoke to Israel in a vision of the night and said, "Jacob, Jacob." And he said, "Here I am, Lord." He said, "I am God, the God of your father. Do not be afraid. Go down to Egypt, for I will make you a great nation there." So here we have Jacob, or Israel, getting that promise once again, that they're going to be made a great nation in Egypt. "I will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also surely bring you up again, and Joseph will close your eyes." I love this. He says, "I'm going to bring you up again, but Joseph's going to close your eyes." And so we know that that takes place in just a few chapters from now. Then Jacob arose from Beersheba. Look at this in verse 5. Jacob arose from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried their father Jacob and their little ones and their wives and the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry them. So oftentimes in our culture today, when we're talking about immigration, people reference this as loving the sojourn. Remember that Israel was an alien in Egypt, and so we should love the same way. But I want to point out, Pharaoh invited them and sent the wagons to carry them to Egypt. They did not enter in illegally. They entered in through legal means. All right, so Genesis 47. Then Joseph went in and told Pharaoh and said, "My father and my brother and their flocks and their herds and all that they have come out of the land of Canaan, and behold, they are in the land of Goshen." And he took 5 men from among his brothers and presented them to Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh said to his brothers, "What is your occupation?" So they said to Pharaoh, "Your servants are shepherds, both we and our fathers." And then they said to Pharaoh, "We have come to sojourn in the land, for there is no pasture for your servants' flocks, for the famine is severe in the land of Canaan. Now, therefore, please let your servants live in the land of Goshen." Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Your father and your brothers have come to you, and the land of Egypt is at your disposal. Settle your father and your brothers in the best of the land. Let them live in the land of Goshen. And if you know any capable men among them, then put them in charge of my livestock." Then Joseph brought his father Jacob and presented him to Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Jacob, "How many years have you lived?" So Jacob said to Pharaoh, "The years of my sojourning are 130. Few and unpleasant have been the years of my life, nor have they attained the years that my fathers lived during the days of their sojourning." And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from his presence. So what's our public square application? God, through Abraham, foresees Jacob, or Israel, being in the land of Egypt. That should bring us hope. God foresees everything. And that means that that famine, today's setback, just might be preparing you for tomorrow's struggle. Think about Joseph. Family sold them out, setback. Potiphar's wife, employer, falsely accuses them, setback. The cupbearer and the baker forget him, setback. But that was all setting them up, setting him up to take care of his family eventually. So let's have hope today. Yesterday's setback, today's setback, might be preparing us for tomorrow's struggle. Now, you might say, why didn't you say for tomorrow's blessing? Well, I'm not sure that Jacob and Joseph were seeing Israel in Egypt as a blessing. It was a blessing in that moment, but we do know the rest of the story where Moses has to deliver them from slavery and bondage. So God provides during our famines. Right now we're having a famine of not wanting to follow the word of God. And God still provides. There's always a remnant. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. Set hope deep into our hearts, into our minds, into our lives, into all that we are, God. God, we understand because we learn from Joseph that sometimes we have so many setbacks in life and we just don't understand why or how or can we, but we're going to be unwavering in our faith. We are not going to give up. We are not going to shut up. We're not going to sit down. We're not going to quit. We're going to keep on going, God, because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You have destined and charged us for such a time as this to be alive in the state of Washington. Lord, we lift up Governor Ferguson to you. We pray that he will bow his knee before you, God, that he would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that the foundation of his Catholic roots would come alive in the Word of God, and that he would be able to understand that Jesus Christ died on the cross for his sins, rose again, that he may have eternal life, and that the Bible, the Word of God, is authoritative and his guide in how to govern. God, we lift up all those in authority over us. We pray for wisdom, discernment, and direction. God, we pray for those school board members that are struggling today. We pray for hope to come in and that today's setback might help them for tomorrow's struggles, God. Because, God, you are setting this up for your glory, for what you want to do, God. God, would you go before us in all things and surround us in Jesus' name. Amen. Go out there and defend in advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.